You may be seated.
Hallelujah. Put your hands together, would you, as we appreciate the worship team, Pastor Elijah and the team. Thank you, guys. Well, good morning to you. A little change in schedule. Pastor Dave asked me to jump in, fill the pulpit this weekend. He officiated over our sister Sandy Santos's funeral yesterday. And so here am I, and here you are. Amen. I'd like to share a word with you. Actually, to be more precise and exact, I'd like to share two words with you. Because here's the deal. I'm going to make it easy, because I know you're going to forget everything I say. So if I just give you two words to remember, hopefully you can take that with you this week and dwell on that. Amen. I mean, just being realistic here. I know you're going to forget everything. Just take two words with you. I'm just going to try to make it simple. I have this thing that I do with a couple of friends, and literally, it really is just a couple of people. I will text them the word "word," W-O-R-D. And there's a whole lot of meaning behind that. I try to be clear and concise as I text many times, and so I try to figure out how do I say as much as possible using as few words as possible. And when I do that, it's kind of like a code with them, but more importantly, we have an understanding based on relationship. Are you with me? I told the other service by mistake, and I wasn't planning this at all, by mistake, I text that to somebody else. They absolutely had no idea what I was saying and obviously didn't even respond. I text somebody wrong and just text "word." No reply, no nothing. They're like, what is this? Me texting "word" to those couple of friends says a whole lot. It could say, how are you doing? It could say, what's up? What's God saying? I'm here if you need me. Just thinking about you, just checking in, right? You get the idea. I'm conveying something, a message through that one word to them. There's no other explanation needed. They know what, and sometimes they will text back a word, literally just a word, what they're going through. Another one will just text back something, what God's doing in his life and the whole thing. It's great. We're on the same page. I say all that to say in the age, in the season in which we're living now, I think there's a lot of words out there. Not necessarily prophetic words per se, but there's a lot of voices. There's a lot of opinions about a lot of things. They're all clamoring for our attention, if you will. We had an area pastors meeting a couple weeks ago, and one guy said, you know, I feel like I have decision weariness. There's, right, you're trying to weigh through so much and decide, and it can wear you down. And we're all weighing. Listen, we're all weighing through things, right? There's COVID issues, political issues. I mean, Pastor shared this morning in that heartfelt prayer for India. It's crazy what's going on. It's just absolutely devastating. And there's a lot of concern. Now, you read in the paper, either tomorrow or Tuesday, you know, U.S. is probably going to shut down travel to India to kind of mitigate things here. And so there's a lot of decisions. We as a leadership and as a staff, you know, we read articles, there's reports, and all of us are weighing through feelings and opinions. Do I get the vaccine or not? Where's my faith? Where's your faith? You know, and we're pointing fingers and sometimes doing this. And what am I afraid of? What are you afraid of? Why am I afraid of whatever it might be? And you know, my mind works, you know, I wonder if I can touch the cart at BJ's, you know, when things opened up. Do you know the arrows too? I freaked out with the arrows down the grocery store aisles, and I'd turn the corner. I don't go to grocery stores very often. Let's just put it in context, you know, and I don't know where I'm going anyway. And to stress me out even more, to see a blue arrow, yellow arrow on the floor, I'm like, do I really have to go all the way around? Oh my gosh, I need a box of rice. You got to be kidding me. Go over. Holy smoke. It freaked me out, man. Oh, what if the arrow police are out or something? I don't know. You know, it just CDC says don't worry about touching things, and I wonder what the World Health Organization says, and Governor Lamont has an update every day, you know, and it's such and such. And is it 6 feet or 3 feet? Is it inside or outside? Is it a mask or not a mask? You know what I'm saying? We've been, I didn't say this the other services. Listen, we've been very consistent here, and we are weighing so many different things. It is 6 feet, as you can see. We're maintaining a mask protocol, and I applaud Pastor Dave and the leadership for doing that. You know, there are other churches that are making other decisions. That's fine for them. You with me? This is what we have decided as a leadership to maintain health and safety for this family, for this church, and that's what we're going to maintain until otherwise, until we weigh through all the reports and things and feel that it's safe. So I'll leave it be. In the midst of all those voices and the swirl of chaos we call life, right, we come to church. And I have the honor and privilege today for about 20 minutes or so to share a word with you. And when I text that to a friend, again, it says so much. There's so much meaning behind that. It's packed full. And I feel as though my sense this morning is God has a very simple and concise word for us. And what I picture this morning is the Lord walking down the aisles and through the rows. He comes alongside each of us. And he looks right into our eyes, right into our eyes, and says, "Be still. Just be still." You hear it? And there's a silence. It's not an awkward silence, but it's one as you lock eyes with him and he locks eyes with you. You know that he knows, and he knows that you know everything you're going through. The emotions you're trying to process, the situation and circumstance that you feel is so big, too overwhelming to overcome, he's right there. And in those two simple words, be still. And there's a sense of peace, right? There's a sense of comfort that comes. The plethora of voices vying for our attention all become muted and dulled. That's the word I want to share with you this morning. The three verses that we can look at in context. The first one is in Exodus 14, verse 14. And then we'll get to Psalm 46, and I'll share a little something out of Mark 4. But the first one, as you turn there, Exodus 14, verse 14. In some context here, Pharaoh in chapter 13 has let Israel go, and you know the story. Moses is leading them out of Egypt and toward the Red Sea, and the Lord gives some instructions and some strategies to Moses here in chapter 14. In camp at a certain place between the sea and this town. I want you to be right here, right at this certain place. And Pharaoh's going to think you're wandering around in confusion. You ever feel like that sometimes? Dazed and confused with all the stuff that's going on in our lives? It's just crazy. And you're just hard to put one foot in front of the other. And he says, so listen, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart, and he's going to pursue you. Oh, good. Okay, that's interesting. Great. Verse 4, I will gain the glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. Sure enough, Pharaoh has second thoughts about letting the Israelites go. He says, what have we done? What have we done letting all these slaves go and losing all their service? Who's going to do the laundry around here? You know what I'm saying? Pharaoh loads up the chariots and army and heads out after them. Verse 10, now the Israelites are freaking out here. They're terrified and cry out to the Lord. And out of fear, they complain to Moses. And they said, listen, in verses 11 and 12, they said to Moses, let me just pose this question to you. Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? Just curious. What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Some observations as I read that through, what I feel the Lord speaking to me and to us through that, fear can cloud our judgment and decisions. Fear depletes faith. Fear looks to blame others. Fear keeps us enslaved, both in mindset and possibly even physically. Fear can cause us to look over our shoulders to what was, and thereby causes regret and therefore second-guess the decisions that we've made. Fear can warp our sense of reality. Fear and hardship can cause what I call us to be myopic, narrow-minded, if you will, and lose sight of the big picture. It would have been better for us, their complaint is, to serve the Egyptians than die in the desert. Really? That's your takeaway now? In the midst of fear. Moses answers them in verses 13 and 14. Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. Verse 14, the Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. In the midst of calamity and the unknown, in the midst of chaos and confusion, in the midst of fear, faith raises her voice and God says, be still. Today, whatever you're in the midst of, whatever we're going through, God says to us today, be still. It's simple and yet profound. And the weight behind those words and what they communicate should bring life and freedom to us. Be still, listen now, be still doesn't always bring clarity and understanding. Are you with me? There's a difference. And that's where adults many times get the hang up. Pastor Justin has done missions trips and he's said an amen for the other two services and see if he does this one. It's easier to take the youth than it is adults on missions trips. We adults always want to know what the next plan is, right? We always want to know what the next step is all the time. I was in Hungary one year. It was absolutely brutal to make a plan because nothing ever went according to plan. You'd get a time frame of where you're supposed to be at a certain time. Never did we show up. Never did our ride show up. We had this thing called Ish. Well, and it wasn't a Hungarian turn. It was, you know, they said 2 o'clock. We're like, Ish. Could be 5. It was worse than India, Pastor Dave. It was crazy. We adults, we want to know. I think in our finite minds, we think clarity and understanding is supposed to bring life and freedom. Just because you understand it now you have life and freedom in whatever that situation might be. But we think answers are the solutions, right? Well, yeah, doesn't that make sense, Pastor David? I mean, you know, answers to questions that kind of doesn't always work that way. In God's economy of things, come on, if we've been saved more than 5 minutes, we understand that. We will not always get the answers that we're looking for. We will not always have understanding in what God is doing. God's ways are not our ways. They're higher. We sometimes just don't get, well, man, if I could just wrap my head around it, see, if I could just understand why, there's another hang up, the why and the mysteries of God, please. We're never going to fathom and understand what he's doing. Faith, trust, yieldedness to him, in him, will bring us life and freedom. Not intellect and conceptually because I understand something. Oh, thanks, God. Thanks for letting me know all those steps. That's what we'd like, but it doesn't happen. Be still in the midst of all that's going on. Listen, for any of you that know me, being still is like impossible for me. Absolutely an impossible thing for me to do. And the difference is, God's not saying, do nothing. He's just saying, be still. And there's a whole lot of difference in that. I interpret it as, do nothing. And I don't like it. Nothing gets done. Nothing gets accomplished. In my mind, that's a problem. Well, Bonnerdes, that's the problem. It's in your mind. It's your way. It's not God's way. Let me try to talk it out with somebody. Let me get as much advice and counsel as I can. Let me figure it out. Let's be solution-based in this thing. Plan for the worst, hope for the best, right? That whole thing. When has it ever worked? I pulled my hair out doing that. The fact that we will never understand the ways of God. If I could paraphrase those two verses in Exodus 14, 13 and 14, make it personal to us, as if God was speaking right to you and I, and he says this, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Stand firm. Deliverance is coming. This is going to pass. This is going to pass. I'm on your side. I will fight for you. Not just that I can. I will fight for you. All you got to do is be still. Hold your peace. Be silent. Watch what I will do. Amen? Second verse I want to look at is Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still. And Pastor Elijah and the team is saying this. Be still and know that I am God. The theme of Psalm 46, according to one commentary, God is always there to help, providing refuge, security, and peace. God's power is complete, and his ultimate victory is certain. Praise God. He will not fail to rescue those who love him. Beginning in verse 1 of Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will fear not, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Verse 4, there is a river. Wait, there's something else there. Selah. It means chill. Well, it means pause and consider. Before you rush on to the next verse, right? Just consider the majesty of God. Verse 4, listen, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Pause again. Pause again. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. And in verse 10, be still and know I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Pause and consider. The earth could be giving way. There's earthquakes and mountains crumbling. Nations are waging war. Kingdoms and governments are overthrown. Nothing going on today, you understand. All this is going on. Be still and know that I am God. Another translation, New American Standard, cease striving, it says, and know that I am God. Living Bible says, stand still. Stand still. Know that I am God. I feel we need to have that settled in our hearts, right? Not just in our minds, not just an intellectual thing. Have it settled in our hearts. God is for us, not against us. In John 16, verse 31, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The first two verses that we looked at in Exodus 14, 14 and Psalm 46, 10, I noticed were directed to the people. Be still to the people, to us. We are to be still, be silent. Sometimes when we worry and fret too much, we can talk too much. The third verse I want to look at is in Mark 4, verse 39. It simply says, quiet, be still. Some translations you're familiar with, peace, be still. In this verse, Jesus commands, he rebukes the situation. He's not talking to the people. but rebukes the situation, the unruly wind and water, if you will, to obey him and be silenced. The disciples are all worried. The boat's going to capsize. There's a squall that comes up, it says, and waves are breaking over the boat, and he's sleeping in the back. They feel abandoned. They feel like he's not doing anything. All is going to be lost. Maybe you're there today. Maybe you feel so overwhelmed that the boat that you're in is about to sink. All I can see, Pastor, really, is the waves in the wind blowing, tossing me around. Maybe you feel like he's abandoned you somehow and doesn't care and just sleeping in the back and things aren't going quite the way you think they should. And he gets up and he says, "Quiet, be still." And the wind died down and it was completely calm. I wonder if he was just speaking to the waves that day. Or perhaps there's a voice calling out to you and I today, be still. Pastor Elijah, why don't you come up? Let me end with this story and then we'll pray. I remember being at Elam Bible Institute, and now it's 20 years. I know I don't look that old. It's really surprising. Back in the 01-02 school year, and I was having breakfast with one of the professors, and I thought I was sharing, right, quote-unquote, sharing my thoughts and concerns about life, and had resigned my position here, pastor and the leadership got behind me and released me for what we've termed a academic sabbatical. But there were no strings attached, and I love that. Pastor made that very clear, that releasing me to school, didn't know if I was coming back. That wasn't the plan. It was just see what God had. And so we went our way, and two kids at the time. And again, if you know anything about me, I am not a perfectionist. I am a precisionist. I like precision. I like to know the steps. And I didn't know nothing when I was there, right? I didn't know a thing other than confirmation upon confirmation I was supposed to be there at that time. And I'm kind of panicking and trying to have faith at the same time. And this brother stopped me in my tracks one time as I'm sharing, and he says, I think you're giving the devil too much attention. You keep talking and getting yourself all worked up. You're worrying about too much. Be still. And man, I was ticked. The last thing I want to hear from somebody when it's all on is relax. My mind ain't relaxing. I am trying to figure it out. Are you with me? The older I get, maybe the wiser I get. I know the slower I'm getting. And I have some more natural time to slow down, more than I thought I would. Just be still. It wasn't the word I wanted to hear, but it was the word I needed to hear. You with me? Maybe you're there today. Maybe it's not what you want to hear, but maybe it's what you need to hear. Oh, it's all on. I get it. I get it. But God says, peace, be still. Amen. Amen. Stand with me. Would you love to pray together? Bless you, Lord. Lord, you're so good. You're so good. Lord, I thank you. It's not a matter of speaking code to us, but it's based on relationship. When you say that to your kids, to us, be still, we get it. We get it. Lord, I pray not just today, but every day of our lives, we'd get it. Be still, that we would hear that voice, that clarion call of faith rising up within our spirits that says, be still. That's the voice we would hear, not all the other voices vying for our attention. Everything else would grow strangely dim compared to and in light of your glory in your voice. That's what I ask. It's simple, but oh my Lord, it's so profound that you would speak to us. And Lord, that's what I ask for each and every one. They'd take that home with them. That seed would be planted in each of our hearts. Peace, be still. You got this. You're for us. You're not against us. We bless you and we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.